I'll just ask us to look to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for yet another opportunity that you've caused us to come together in one place, Lord, in one accord to seek you. And Father, we just honor you and we glorify your name. Lord, I just pray even as we go into your word that, Lord, will you teach us your truths? Lord, will you minister to us? Lord, even as I share your word, Lord, that your name will be lifted up, your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Daniel chapter 6. And I'll try not to read the entire chapter. It's 28 verses. I promise you I wouldn't read all of them. But it says in from verse 1, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corruption nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that a king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repelled." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his, Now when Daniel learned that the king, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then those men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repelled." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. I'm going to skip 15 and go on to 16. So it says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Then I'm going to go to 18. It says, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. I'll go to 20. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. I'll just take you to 26. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Amen. This is one passage of scripture that I have been going through quite often recently at home. And there are quite a few things that has really ministered onto me. And actually, I'm very much engaged in this chapter, this particular chapter. And when Pastor Christy asked me to share one evening, I said, Lord, is this, even though I'm engaged in this quite often, for the past month, is this what you want me to share? And there are aspects from it that I have identified that I'd like to share, not, as the whole thing. I mean, we know the overview of this chapter, which I've just read. Daniel, in verse 2, he's an administrator. In verse 3, Daniel, he had a distinguishing feature, characters that, with exceptional qualities, and which hopefully I can pick out a few of those later on. But then in verse 4, we notice something here that says there's a bit of jealousy that came up. And we know what jealousy can do in a natural world, what it can really, be very, very bitter and cause endless problems. And which in this case, it did cause problem. But, we serve a true and living God. And we will explore a bit more. Now, the king obviously formed the decree and put it in writing. It wasn't forgotten. It was put in writing. If it's in black and white, we're going to go for it. I mean, there was no escape. It was put in writing. But, I mean, as we read there just now, that prior to that, there's some little people about that, big people who probably behave like little children at times. And just swift little feet running about and tongues that are about. And we're gonna see a bit more of that. But we know that Daniel, with all of this that happened, Daniel did not, he was not changed, he wasn't moved. His faith in God stood there and kept him. And that is something I really am encouraged by. Now, he continued praying to God 3 times. It says in verses 14, but okay, just before we get to 14, in 11, there was the point where the decree was broken because of his commitment to God. He's chosen to hold out for God. This is my God in which I believe, I serve, I trust, and it's death or life now. I'm going to continue worshiping, praising him, and you've got to deliver me. If not, the lions will have me. As simple as that. Okay, so decree broken. And there are two verses that I really, really like, and that is verses 14 and 18. And I'm just going to go into that again in my little introduction here. And 14 says, 13, 14. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. So when he heard what had happened, that Daniel still looked to his God and not to the king, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. We'll come back to that because that is really words to ponder on. That is really, really words to ponder on because this distress is not in a negative sense that, oh, you know what, it's all bad. But there was good thoughts. It was just troubling King Darius at that time. It was just troubling him. But we will see the good and the bad in all of this. It says then in 18, he was disturbed. So to continue in 18, then he returned to his palace, that's the king, and spent the night without eating, without any of his usual entertainment. You could imagine in the royal places that, you know, all of this entertainment they have. And you're not at peace. You're not at peace. You can't enjoy all of this free. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to, you know, contribute in any way. It's just, you know, that's just there for you. You've inherited that. And just imagine you can't enjoy it now. But we will see a bit more. All right, then it goes on to 21. So Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and then he was saved from it by the Almighty God. And it says, then the king called to Daniel, and there is the answer in humility. He responded in humility. Because at first, when I read the scripture, I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to be upset now. I'm going to really be upset because I haven't done anything and you have wronged me. I'm going to be upset. But then, as I continued reading, I've literally, been through this chapter like about 6 to 8 times in the past month. And I'm thinking, you know, at that point, as a human being, I'm going to be upset because you have done this wrongly to me. But as I kept reading it over and over and over again, the word of God just got hold of my heart and said, you know what? Mm-mm. God will repay. God will repay. Okay, so in all of this, Daniel was delivered, and then a new decree came from this very king. That new decree is that the God, this is the true God. This is the true God, and we, as of now on, we will worship this God. And then finally, Daniel, you know, we read about God's name being glorified. So that's the entire chapter in summary. But I just want to go back to a little that I picked up as I was preparing for it. And some notes I found, it says in 605 BC, the dynasty was in its twilight years. Nebuchadnezzar successfully besieges Jerusalem and carries off some of the treasure from the temple of God to Babylon. So it is telling us a bit more of how Daniel really got there from the beginning. Nebuchadnezzar also captures some young men of the royal family with him to serve him in his court. Daniel was one of them. This probably takes place before Daniel had finished adolescence, which in roughly about between 11 to 18, about that time, which another commentator said it was like when he was about age 15. So he was very young, and when he was taken. I mean, from what I've read here, it shows us that there are many lessons that we can learn from this if we, you know, unpack all of this bit by bit. Obviously, our time wouldn't allow me for that, but hopefully we can go back into it, or some of us must have been through it already. But as a child growing up, I have always learned of this story as a really nice one. You know, Sunday school teachers told me all about it, and it appealed so much. And this lovely picture we did week after week, the lovely, the lion and Daniel. But literally, today I could say it's not that story. It's not that story as we were taught. Because, I don't know if that's how it is. You know, when you're teaching children that, you give them that nice picture and, you paint that picture, that lovely picture. But beneath, as we've read into more verses, we discover that it is way far from that picture. It's far away from that picture. So, I am going to go into some main points here. And I want to draw our attention to commitment to the Lord and in what he has called us to do. You know, we see here that Daniel was very committed in his calling. Daniel has been so committed that he has chosen that I am going to hold out for Christ. I'm going to hold out for the God in which I believe. And it says here, a man who loved the Lord and prayed as he would. As we have our meals daily, we love our meals. And he loved prayer that way. As we, some of us, we really struggle to fast and we cannot even, skip a meal. So you could imagine with that same appetite that we have, he had that appetite for prayer. Isn't it something that we should copy from him? I mean, many times we've done it, but he was a man who held out in prayer and said, this is my God. I'm going to seek after him. I'm going to go that extra mile and hear what he has to say to me. I'm going to be faithful to him. I'm going to keep holding on to him. And later on, we'll see that he held on to God, literally throughout his lifetime. Daniel learned to trust God. He learned to lean on God. He was able to interpret most of the troubling dreams, visions from Nebuchadnezzar and his son Belshazzar, as in Daniel 2:27, chapter 4:4-9. And I mean, with this special gift he's got of dream interpretation, I mean, we might be gifted in different ways. It doesn't mean that we have to be in that area. We might be all called to prayer, which is quite right. But then we may not all be able to discern, or we may not be able to interpret dreams as he did. But my encouragement to us is to be committed to what we're called for. Is to be committed to what we're called for. Because God could use us in a different way. He could use us in prayer. He could use us in reaching out to people. He could use us in prophecy. He could use us, in so many different ways. But my encouragement is to be committed to what he has called us. As we see here, that Daniel was truly committed to what he had called him to do. It says, Daniel was characterized by his unwavering faithfulness. And he was so faithful. It says, to the laws of Moses, his faithfulness to God earned him another honorable mention from the prophet Ezekiel. In verse 10, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home, he went to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. With this decree, he was not moved. And we must be unmovable. Holding on to God, holding to what we believe. Because God honors faithfulness. And if he has called us, let us be faithful to what he has called us to do. Immovable. So I want to just summarize by saying in that point that in whatever we are called to do, be committed, and he will honor us. I just want to move on to my second point, which is in leadership, because we see here that Daniel has been called to a position of leadership, and because of his commitment, because of his performance in this capacity, he's even been promoted. Now, it says in verse 3, Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. And I picked up some notes as well that first, in one leadership area, Nebuchadnezzar, after Daniel interprets the dream, he was well pleased in this leadership role. Then Belshazzar, after Daniel reads the original handwriting on the wall, and in Darius's day, Darius the Mede, because Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. Then in Cyrus, with Cyrus the Persian, for unknown reasons, but because of his excellent quality, because of his exceptional exceptional qualities, he has been called to this role. And God has empowered him to lead in such a good way. On the other hand, we read of a leader leading by King Darius. And in verse 14, when King Darius was in that leadership role, again, he was the overall, he was the king. So obviously he's a leader. In verse 14, it tells us when Darius had to make that decision. It says, King Darius loved Daniel. But remember, he was talked into making that decision. He put it in writing. It was now confirmed. And then, obviously, they all had to live by it. Now, when Daniel did not do what was asked, he didn't bow to him, then that was against the rule, basically. So then, it says in 14, when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. And that is something that, as he said, has really ministered to me. He was greatly distressed. When King Darius heard this, why was he actually distressed? He was so troubled in himself that, oh, you know what? Throughout the kings before, Daniel has been this well-respected young man. He has done so much. He has interpreted dreams and, you know, different things. And because of his faithfulness, because of his commitment, now this is going to befall him. All right, this is going to befall him. But does he really deserve this? Does he really deserve this? So he tries to find some way, that's the king tries to find some way to get him out, get Daniel out of the out of this decision. Now the king knew he had been trapped into signing this decree. He had gone from a self-styled god to a fool. He makes this decision like a fool, literally, you know, been led into by these guys. Yes, they came. They've just put this really nicely. They've put this together, caused him to accept it. He has made this decision, put it in writing, and it cannot be changed now. But, I mean, I've got this faithful man, Daniel. Does he deserve this? And then in verse 18, when, 18, then the king returned to his palace. So when that was after Daniel was thrown in the den, returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without entertainment being brought to him, and could not sleep. Well, you know what? He had reason not to sleep. He had reason not to sleep. Because, fine, does this man deserve this? I don't think so. But then, at one point I'm thinking, probably this is how it meant to be. Because then we know the faithfulness of God. In all of this, we've seen the faithfulness of God. And you know what? My point that I really want to bring out from this is that in leadership, when we might not be in charge of, you know, a great big number of people, we might be as much as in charge of a Sunday school class, or even five people, we might be leading a group, we might be in a small leadership capacity. It doesn't mean that the very, very, very big ones, but as much as we're in that small leadership capacity, God has placed us there, and we're accountable. So whatever decision we make, we are accountable. No matter how small it might be. No matter how small it might be. So you could imagine as it escalates, as the role increases, gets bigger, it's even more. We're even more accountable. So there are times when we have to make decisions. But how do we do it? We need to consult Him. We need to consult God, because He's our source of strength. He's our source of help. Now, in Darius' case, these men below him, obviously, as a leader, you know, they all had a chat among themselves and say, oh, you know what? Yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to, you know, all the little feet that I was talking about came and say, and the mouth, you know what? But, I mean, it all triggered because of jealousy. Because when Daniel meant to be promoted to a higher level, this triggered that, oh, you know what? He's from another land and is coming here to even be above the other leaders. So that triggered it. And then they decide to come to the king, work up this nice decree. We're going to get it. We're going to get him to put it in writing. He has done it now. And that settles it. The consequence is that Daniel is now in the den, and now the king cannot rest. The king cannot rest, and it was good reasons for him not to rest. You know what? I said, Lord, help me to humble myself before you. Because there are times when we make rash decisions in life. I mean, as much as leading in our homes, we make, you know, incorrect decisions, and sometimes we've got to face the consequences as well. And I would say, let's go back to God. Let's go back to God when we're in leadership, in whatever it may be, whatever it might be. A very small group that we might be leading. It doesn't have to be a big group or a big organization. You could imagine it's even more for these people who lead these big organizations. I mean, trusting God that they seek godly counsel, because that's the way it should be. Because when we don't, we see what could happen. And I just want to encourage us, even as whatever little capacity we might be in, it may be very, very small, but we're accountable. At the end of the day, we're accountable. And as a leader, we need to be accountable, not just to man, but we're accountable to Him. And one little very important point I picked up as I was studying this, it says, one thing we must quickly see here, the law of God is above the law of the land. And we know of current situations out there that, you know, we discuss from time to time. And lots of implementations through the government, through schools, through different organizations, that different legislations are changing. And it's all in favor of what the man out there says and how we see things out there. But what does God say about those things? What does God say about those things? So those are things we've got to be sensitive to. We've got to be mindful. And I know a fact that Christians at workplaces go through really rough times. Christians, I mean, it's not a case that you hide or you're ashamed to say I'm a Christian. But there are many times that, I mean, literally there is not a solution to a problem at work. And the thought of praying, shall we pray for this person? But then it's not politically correct to do prayers at workplace. I mean, then they may say, oh, you're not a chaplain, you know. And because of that, there was one time I was really motivated to pray for people. And I thought, you know what, it's not going to work out well at my workplace. And I went off to Mount Vernon Hospital at the hospice. And I was given the opportunity to do that there, because it wasn't nothing to do with my work. It was out of the working context. So things can, you know, you can work things out. You can work in different areas and still be able to reach out to people. And even though you might, that might not be the case, because eventually I found it very difficult to then having to go to another place to do that. So then subsequently I stopped. But I want to tell you that even in your role, even where you are, you can still call upon the name of Jesus. You can still call upon His name. You can still seek Him for guidance. Because there are times when you might not be the boss, but you have got to seek God's wisdom for the boss. The boss may not know Christ, and you may have to seek, you may have to stand in that gap for that person and seek God's guidance, God's direction, because there might be important decisions that need to be made, and it would affect you. And even and all, if it doesn't affect you, it might affect a colleague. And you might think, well, oh, you know what? I could have been in that colleague's place, and now we've changed to, well, let's say Sunday working. How does that go down with me? You know, so those are things that in that leadership capacity, leaders need wisdom, leaders need godly counsel. And that is what, I mean, even we might be in a workplace, and that is what God has placed us there, that we can have that input can come from us. I mean, as I said, it may not allow us to publicly say it, but then we can prayerfully intercede. Amen? And my third point on endurance. We know that in all of this, as I said, Daniel started, well, you could imagine that God would have started preparing him for all of this even as a child. I haven't read that bit, but I would imagine that even as a child, I haven't gone back, you know, into that research bit, but even as a child, God would have started preparing him for this time when he would have been taken. And because from the time he was taken, you know, leadership was on his shoulder. So then God just doesn't put us in awkward situations, but then he prepares us. So you could imagine that from that childhood day, to, it says the Babylon captivity lasted 70 years, which could have put Daniel in his 80s at the beginning of Darius's reign. So you could imagine that's pretty much a lifetime spent with God. And it wasn't easy for him. It wasn't easy for him. We see that, you know, we can rejoice now that all of it is over and he has been victorious. But we know we you know, this morning we've been remembered by Oliver of the peaks and trough, and you know, when our troubles come, and how our faith begins to waver, and you know, all of this happens. So even we may think that a lifetime is no time at all, really. Just, you know, it goes by so quick. It goes by so quick. I mean, probably when you're in difficult times, it stretches. It stretches and it seems so long, because you can imagine in good times, things seem all well and good. But when you're going through rough times, when you're going through trials, daily trials, it probably takes, you know, everything, all the strength you have in you to really see things through. But it says here that Daniel, he was able to endure. He was able to endure. And today, I want to encourage us that all of this is going to come to an end one day. All of what we're going through is going to come to an end one day. And let us stand as God has called us to. Because let us fight that good fight of faith and be able to stand on that day. Because he who has begun a good work is able to bring it to completion. Amen. And lastly, we see God's name be glorified. And that is what that brings him all the honor and the glory in all of this. Because as I said at the beginning, when all of this decision was made, the decree, and Daniel was not compliant to the king, and then he was thrown in the den, I was really angry at first when I saw that, oh, you know what? King, you're in authority, you've made this decision, but it was for the glory of God. It was for the glory of God. And today I want to encourage us that we might be going through rough times. We might be going through tunnels that we cannot even see, you know, it's corners. When we think we're coming to the end of it, it's just another corner you're going around. But I want to encourage you that God's name will be glorified at the end of it all. God's name will be glorified. Even as we go through our rough times, let us call upon him. Let us call upon him in times of trouble. I mean, yesterday we visited a friend who has lost her mom, and, you know, we were talking about giving thanks. you know, she may not truly understand giving thanks. She's not a Christian, but she may not truly understand giving thanks. My mom has died. I'm going to give thanks. But, you know, we encourage her that in everything, give thanks. So even though we might be going through our rough times, our times that doesn't seem to come to an end, these rough situations are not coming, it's not getting even better. It's just getting worse. But God, He has chosen us for this. He has chosen us for this. And His name will be glorified at that last point. His name will be honored. And He would not forget. Trust me, He's a God that doesn't forget things. He's a God that does not forget. But, you know, with all of this, how does it really apply to our lives? I mean, we've dealt with prayer. Daniel was committed. He was committed to prayer. He was committed. He trusted God. He leaned on God. He never gave up on God. Today, we might be in our difficult times. I just want to encourage us that let us not give up, but let us trust God. Remember, as I said from the beginning, it's not really about the fancy story that we heard, you know, lovely pictures we've seen. I mean, it brings so much pleasant memories to me. I mean, this man is great. Probably he's great like the lion. You see in Daniel standing tall and strong, and the lion is there. You know, such a tame animal. And I mean, we know in reality, lions are not like that. It's only God can do that. It's only God can do that. So as we go through, let us go back into this. I mean, there were times when, the number of times that I've read it, literally I got so angry that on one occasion I started to cry, actually, because I said, you know, probably I don't have the strength to beat, you know, to put up a fight. But it really, I was so angry. I said, you know, this is really, I don't see, this is not fair at all. This is not fair at all. I mean, and that triggered my anger. But as I went back into it over and over, the Lord just brought me to a humbling position and say, you know what? His name will be glorified. His name will be glorified. And there are times when we lack wisdom. And I'm thinking, you know what, Lord? Your word says ask. Ask. And He's going to give us wisdom. When we're in those positions where we have to make decisions and we need to hear from God, it's not easy. And we need to go back to Him. We need to ask Him for wisdom. And I read of Daniel being a sinless man. I mean, he trusted God. He served God. He was faithful to the calling of God. And he abstained from sinning. I mean, that's what we should be doing. I mean, we know that we've got forgiveness, you know, so it's a word of encouragement. If we do sin, go to the Father. Let's seek His forgiveness. And it says, God has asked God for His Spirit to dwell in us. In all of this, Daniel asked God for His Holy Spirit. And we know that the Spirit of God has been guiding Daniel through all of this, through his rough times. And we have seen that His name was glorified. And just to encourage you with enduring in all of this, throughout his lifetime, throughout all his troubles, he kept holding on to God until the victory was gained and the name of the Lord was glorified. Today, I want to encourage us that in all that we do, in wherever we are, whatever situation we might be in, let us keep holding on to God. He has not forgotten us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He wants us to establish that relationship with Him whereby we can call upon Him, whereby we can communicate, whereby we can have that one-to-one, that we can hear from Him and He can direct our paths. He can give us answers. He can give us that counsel that we need only if we ask, only if we depend and trust in him. Praise God.